Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome to the Saints Happy Hour podcast featuring Dave Cariello, Andrew Juge, Ralph Malbro, and when he decides to show up, Kevin Held. We are the perfect blend of Saints sincerity and stupidity.
Ingram, my BF, took it to the house and finished it off with a nice little spinorama at the end. It was a thing of beauty.
Your pillow talk that evening must have been spectacular.
Oh, yeah. I put that one on the spank bank.
Should we retry this?
You can't make Ralph do the ad again.
And now, here's your host, Ralph Malbro.
All right, we are live. Welcome to another edition of Saints Happy Hour podcast. As always, we are sponsored by MyBookie. I get asked questions all the time about who to bet on, who to bet with. I don't always know who's going to win, but I know where to go. The answer is MyBookie. Between their live in-game betting, endless props, and fantasy sports wager, there's something for everyone with the best player perks in the sportsbook business. They've been good to us, and we know they'll be good to you. They're hooking up our listeners all month. Visit MyBookie.ag and use the promo code HAPPY25 when creating your account to claim a 50% bonus. Laying down 100, you now get an extra 50 to play. That's MyBookie.ag. Promo code HAPPY25. You play, you win, you get paid. Terms and restrictions apply. All right. Last week.
Yeah, you get a solid B plus for that.
Solid B plus. I got another ad later to butcher. So, last week, me and Andrew did a show about Andrew saying Latavius Murray was going to bust, and it generated a whole conversation on Twitter and between everybody on the show to where I decided let's do a Sean Payton bust bracket, and I sent the email around of 16 people. To put in the tournament, and Andrew and Dave were like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Where is this guy? Where is that guy? Where is this? Where is that? And then we put it out to the people on Twitters, and they were like, where's this? Where's that? This thing blossomed. It's 32 teams, and it is a deep bracket of Sean Payton's worst decisions as Saints coach. This bracket, and me and Andrew have been super excited about it, but Dave, are you as excited as me and Andrew are for this bracket? We think it's magnificent.
First of all, I'm not the history buff like you guys are, and so it's nice to have a bracket that's rooted in, purely the Sean Payton era, just so that I can remember everything. There's a lot of funny stuff on here, and it's, you know, as we're going over everything, and you like put it all together. And we kind of discussed this like on via text or whatever. I don't know if there's another coach in the NFL who has this many I guess I would all put it under the category of drama. I think that might be a good word, you know.
I just don't like who has been maybe like Belichick has been there about as long as Peyton has, a little bit longer, and maybe I would say who else?
Not Andy Reid.
Tomlin. Yeah. But I would say both of those guys, they don't have half the stories. Like when you go down this list, you're like, oh yeah, that happened, and oh man, I can't believe that happened. And like for a coach to be somewhere for 13 years, like you're gonna build some stories, but when you look at them all in concert, you're like, how does Sean Payton still have a job?
How did they win? I texted, yeah. How did they win We bitch and complain sometimes about how they haven't won multiple Lombardis. I look at this bracket and I think, how did they win one?
A game?
Yeah. How did they win one Lombardi trophy? It's amazing.
How did they escape conviction?
It's true. Like,
well,
like
a couple times they may not
people,
have.
People are fired up about this bracket on Twitter. And people, I think we have our personal favorites of us, but this bracket is deep. I mean, Kobe Fleener did not make this bracket.
Lauren Ideas and Case Beharn were final cuts. They were bubble teams that did not get in.
I was arguing with somebody before the show. He was like, where the fuck is Andres Pete? I'm like, Andres Pete's name didn't even come up. That's how deep this bracket is.
He's not even NIT worthy.
No. This bracket is loaded. But before we get to the bracket, the Saints, they don't really have any news. The only thing is Ziggy Ansah, I guess he's getting a back reevaluation or something. He probably will sign like right after we do this podcast and I load it up.
We got really one question in the chat room before Kremlin Marrero has been patient, so let's drop that before we start the bracket. He just wants to know how effective we think Cook will be in our offense. Jared Cook.
I think his floor is like 55 and 600, you know?
But yeah, I don't know if that's his floor. I think that's kind of what I expect, honestly.
So people that ask the questions, we'll try to do the questions sort of after we get through the first round of the bracket, because we have a 32-team bracket. We have 16 games to go. So I got so excited about this bracket that – and we'll do some draft stuff too after we get through the first round games. But I got so excited about this bracket. I felt like because of everyone donating – and by the way, you should donate. You should become a patron like Dave's mom did today at the $7 level, so you can have access to
not
all
even a joke.
The shows. You get four
Thanks,
extra
mom.
Shows. Yeah, you get four extra shows a week. So for $7, that's nothing. And you're going to want our draft expertise. We got a draft pod, draft capsule coming up that's fantastic. You might have seen it on the Twitters today. Armchair Media did a nice video of it for us today. But for this tournament, I felt like it was so great, and this is the most ridiculous, most stupid thing we've ever done, that we had to go over the top. So I did some preview capsules for the seed. So Andrew, read off the first bracket, the first matchup that we'll have, and then I'll do the preview capsule.
Wait, now before we do this, are you sure you're going to do 16 in one night? This you might want to break this up into two things. That
we'll
might take
see.
A long time.
We'll see, but we might do 8 and 8 tonight. We'll see. We got first round, so Andrew introduced the first game.
So the top overall seed, who. At least as far as the seeding is concerned right now, we'll see how this goes. But number one is the Greenbrier. As worst Sean Payton move ever, it's deciding to go to the Greenbrier versus the 32 seed. So the last one in, former defensive coordinator Rob Ryan.
So people are going to have questions about the Greenbrier. So we did a package, a preview of the number one overall seed, and here's that preview. The Greenbrier is the Sean Payton's worst decision tournament bracket number one overall seed. From the moment the Saints set foot in the 5-star luxury resort in West Virginia, they became injured, soft, and entered into a 3-year twilight zone of 7-9 sadness. Local New Orleans Saints media scoffed at fans blaming the Greenbrier for the Saints' struggles from 2014 through 2016, but facts prove the media wrong. Sean Payton's won 68% of games as Saints coach when the Saints don't train in West Virginia, but only 43% when they do. Like a tourist ordering a second-hand grenade during the first trip to New Orleans, Sean Payton having the Saints train at the Greenbrier was the granddaddy of bad decisions. Yeah, I felt like that was needed because people will scoff at the Greenbrier being the number one overall seed. But I feel like, Dave, you could pin pretty much everything of all those 7-9 seasons. You can bring it back to the Greenbrier. I don't think it's outrageous
and it's
for the Greenbrier to be the number one seed.
And it was really, even more specifically, it was purely the wallpaper in the bedrooms at the Greenbrier that the players had the wallpaper in the bedrooms that the players had to stay in. It was floral. It was weak. It made the players weak and unmotivated.
Well, you know what famous movie that was, that the hallways were.
The Shining,
right? Oh, was
right?
that The Shining?
The Shining, yep.
Yeah. Wow.
I forgot about that. I should have dropped
so,
in.
So the place really is cursed.
I should have dropped in a sound clip of The Shining.
You should have put Rad Rom.
So
Kevin would be very disappointed to know that I've never seen The Shining before.
Oh my God. So do you even own a TV that you use that when it isn't a Saint game, Dave?
Yeah, I watch you know what else I don't watch that we're not going to discuss this week. I don't watch Game of Thrones. Don't
I am
care.
The only one on this show that watches.
I've never watched it before.
Oh wow, yeah. good. Well, then you're outnumbered, Ralph.
Yeah, I am.
That's good. So we don't need to talk about Night Walkers and dragons and whatever the fuck else goes on in Game of Thrones.
Yeah, I mean, the Greenbrier, I feel like the fun of it was the media really disliked the fans blaming the Greenbrier for everything. And the more the media sort of pushed back against the fans, the more we dug in that the Greenbrier was the problem. And it was just so much fun, even though the seasons weren't. The training at the Greenbrier was bad. And but Andrew, you liked it because you got to go to the Greenbrier.
Yeah, I went. I mean, I got to meet all the players. I got numerous pictures with Drew Brees and my kid and Cam Jordan and my kid and Morstead and my kid. And at one point, I walked with Mickey Loomis for like a mile, like just chatting the whole way. I mean, it was awesome. I got to meet Sean Payton. I mean, it was a dream. I've never, I mean, the untethered access I had to players at that time was crazy. If you remember, I broke the Victor Butler news that he had hurt his ankle and was in a boot.
Yeah.
And I did that from inside the hotel walls because all New Orleans media was staying elsewhere in less expensive hotels. And so,
man, if we'd had the daily podcast then, Andrew, God, we'd have got 3-4 signups off of that breaking news.
I don't know if I ever told you guys this, but the best part was that I didn't know what Victor Butler looked like. And so he's walking out of there's a little Italian place, and he's coming out of the Italian place inside the hotel, and he's carrying a pizza. So he's obviously got a pizza to go. And I see him in the walking boot, and I'm like, I got to figure out who that guy is. And so I have my kid's football with me, and my kid's next to me. So I'm just like, hey, man, do you mind signing my kid's football? And he's like, yeah, no problem. So he grabs my pen and, you know, my Sharpie, and he grabs the football, and he asked me to hold his pizza. So I'm holding Victor Butler's pizza as he signs my kid's ball. And I'm like, hey, thanks, man. And then I take a peek at the ball, and I'm like, okay, it's Victor Butler.
Man, you're a regular Woodward and Bernstein. Yeah.
So he totally outed himself by signing my football. And so then, like, boom, I tweeted immediately as soon as I walk away. I'm like, Victor Butler is in a walking boot. And all these media guys were like, what the hell? It was amazing.
Andrew, you missed your chance to be a fantastic media member. Instead, you spend time booking bands all over the world and finding me good royalty-free music. So Dave, the number 32 and last team in the bracket, and I don't think he should be in this bracket at all. I think it's outrageous that Rob Ryan is in this bracket, but make your case that Rob Ryan is.
You're just saying that because you love the hair.
Dave, make your case that Rob Ryan is one of Sean's worst decisions.
I don't have a case for that, to be honest with you, Ralph. I kind of agree with you.
Dude, in 2013, he was a motherfucking icon in the city, man.
Yeah, I mean, it ended badly. You know, they really, but
it ended more than badly. Well, don't you remember the shouting matches on the sidelines?
Yes, I do. But still, there was a little good to go along. Still, there was a little good to go along with the bad.
And as soon as he got canned, he goes on NFL Network and he's like, they all want to blame it on me.
I know.
I mean,
about the Jarrett Spurs signing.
It was fun, though. He was like, he had fun. The first year, he had fun nicknames for everybody. And, you know, it was good
time. The thing that's funny about Rob Ryan is that it was all fun and games when he joined. And everyone thought it was awesome that he was going to bars and getting loaded with fans after the games. And he was like, New Orleans is Prince for a year, you know, and that defense was good. And, man, they turned on him so fast. The minute that defense started to falter, everyone was ready to burn Rob Ryan to the ground. And all goodwill was gone overnight.
I'll say this about Rob Ryan. The one thing I loved about having him is my DMs. I would get like 3 DMs a week of people just like tweeting me where Rob Ryan was. It wasn't even that he was out at bars. He's like, oh, he's at the grocery and he bought a case of beer and some Ben and Jerry's. And it would just be like Rob Ryan out in the wild. Like,
I think Rob Ryan was a more effective hero to zero than Fred Thomas.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, I think it's good. So, I'm voting Greenbrier on this one. Andrew, who are you voting?
Man, the Greenbrier has a special place in my heart. I know it didn't work out for the Saints, but as Jim Gleason just, our friend Jim Gleason just typed in the chat, he said I called it the Dreambrier. So, I don't know. I was never a Rob Ryan fan. And, you know, there was this whole, like, embarrassing, like, we're going to be a 3-4 now. And they brought in Rob Ryan to do it. And then they gave up on it in, like, 2 weeks and went back to the 4-3. I mean, I thought Rob Ryan was a terrible hire. And I'm picking Rob Ryan. I'm picking the upset.
Dave, you break the tie.
What? You're picking Rob Ryan over the Greenbrier? Come on, man. The Greenbrier for sure is winning.
All right. So our next matchup is the Hauser Pyramid Scheme and Viking Gate. And I also have a preview of an explanation of the Hauser Pyramid Scheme. Kevin Hauser's Pyramid Scheme is the Sean Payton's Worst Decision Tournament Bracket, number 16 overall seed. Sean Payton's decision to invest in Hauser's tax scheme cost the coach a cool $144,000. Tax credits in Louisiana as an investment? What could possibly go wrong? Payton should have just taken that $144,000 and set it on fire. Payton did at least get the last laugh on Kevin Hauser by cutting the long snapper.
It's not about money. It's about sending a message.
So, Kevin Hauser, Pyramid Scheme versus number 17, Viking Gate. This one's a hard call, Dave. I'm going to let you make the first vote on this one. I got to think about this one for a bit.
Well, I mean, I don't know. We might want to recap it. I mean, it's been so long.
Yeah.
I remember at the time, I remember I what Viking Gate, I remember I was really into it, and I think I read the entire lawsuit that was filed. If you remember, it was filed by Jeffrey Santini, who was his head of security for the team at the time, and he wound up leaving or whatever, and filed a lawsuit saying that you know, Sean Payton made him do things that would be illegal regarding Vicodin and all that kind of stuff. So
I thought that was going to sink them. I really did, because I did too. I had the late Kenny Wilkerson, and I had other people that I knew. They were like, "This is serious. They know they fucked up. The FBI and stuff is going to come and get them." And I was like, "Oh man, this is going to take it all down." But it just sort of like piffed and went away. Like it never really took hold.
But wasn't Joe Vitt skimming off the top more than Sean Payton?
Yeah.
He was involved. Yeah, he was definitely involved too.
He was definitely involved. And I think the Saints paid like a $300,000 fine. But like it never really went as far.
Man, for $300,000, you could have gone a couple blocks from the stadium and gotten all the Viking you wanted.
I know, right? So that was Viking. The Hauser, it was just, they bought movie tax credits because Louisiana gives tax breaks to the film industry. They bought the tax breaks, and the guy who they gave the money to file the paperwork to buy the tax breaks, he never did it. And so it all went kaput. And Peyton and Breeze and Hauser and like three or four other players and an assistant coach, like, they all lost a shit ton of money. And Sean Payton was like, we didn't cut Hauser because of that. But they totally cut Hauser because of that. Like, he had to get up out of there. You know, it's one thing to defraud. To do either Breeze or Peyton probably would have gotten cut, gotten him cut. But to do both, like, you know, I'm surprised he didn't end up at the bottom of Lake Pontchartrain. Dave, who you got in this?
You know, the Hauser pyramid scheme. I don't know. How are we? You know, what are we supposed to be using to make our decision? You know,
it's up to you. It's personal. It's
whatever
called,
we want.
It's called worst Sean Payton move. So, well, what's the worst move?
Well, I mean,
it in or investing in a Ponzi scheme.
I know, that's what I'm saying. I would say, I mean, the Hauser thing, you know, was nowhere near as big of a deal as Vicodin Gate. And, you know, like Ralph said at the time, I thought that was going to be a much bigger deal than it was. They did a very good job of making that go away and moving past that pretty quickly. I would say Vicodin Gate is way bigger.
Okay, well, I'm going to let Ralph be the tiebreaker here, because Vicodin, like, NFL coaches and players, I mean, that's a story as old as time. Like, everybody abuses pills. Like, I mean, that's just, like, that's such a standard, like, token run-of-the-mill thing that happens in America. I mean, opiate abuse, big deal. We see that everywhere. But, like, the Hauser Ponzi, the scheme was just so ridiculous. It involved like these tax credits, and it was like this long snapper who was like barely even on the roster, that barely even talked to people, and somehow like a special teamer who, you know, I mean, the long snapper is like on the same wavelength as the kicker and the punter, right? No one talks to him, and somehow he had convinced everyone that this was some great investment, and he's a CPA and he knows what he's talking about, and like, he got half the team was suing him for all these tax credits that they ended up never seeing back. So to me, that story, I mean, Vicodin Gate is maybe worse, but I like the Hauser pyramid scheme, and that's my vote because it's just so much more ridiculous.
Yeah, I'm going to vote the pyramid scheme as well. The thing that I think the Saints got lucky is Vicodin Gate happened before sort of the America is addicted to opioids, it's a serious crisis, and football players are abusing their body and concussions and all that. Vicodin Gate sort of happened before all that took center stage. I feel like if that had happened now, ESPN, Outside the Lines, and Sports Illustrated, and the New York Times, they all would have descended on New Orleans about that story and really would have got to the bottom of it. But it just sort of passed in the night because it just wasn't the right time. So, and the Hauser
pyramid. Yeah, make no mistake, that could have sunk him, though. Absolutely.
It just, he really caught a break.
And
it
was lucky,
sort of like the opposite of Bounty Gate, in a sense of Bounty Gate wasn't as bad. You know, you could argue Bounty Gate wasn't nearly as bad as Vicodin Gate, but Bounty Gate caught the Saints at the worst time, where Goodell was looking to make them send a message and do all kinds of things. So it really, the Saints, it caught them at the wrong time. So the next round, Dave, I'm going to let you start this one off. Or should we let Dave have the tiebreaker on this, Andrew? Because it's number 9, Nick Fairley extension, versus number 24, CJ Spiller.
Dave, we know
off?
Where Dave's going. Do we even
you're,
need
Dave,
to,
you need to,
even
you need
need
to,
need to
lead
ask
off
it.
On this.
You're skipping one. You're skipping a bracket, but we can.
I am.
In.
You're right. I did number. Well,
let's go. Let's go with Fairley and Spiller.
Yeah, we can still do this one. Yeah, no, the CJ Spiller thing was disappointing. But you know what? I was there, obviously, in the dome, overtime against Dallas. I think he took it like 80 yards, 85 yards, whatever it was, on a screen pass or something like that. Took it to the house, won the game.
It was a wheel route.
Oh yeah. Okay. Yeah. Right. A wheel route. That's right. He caught. That's right. Honestly, it was all worth it for that. The rest was Lagniappe as far as Spiller was concerned, and there was no Lagniappe. But anyway, the rest would have been Lagniappe.
Before you finish, Dave, will you at least admit that Nick Fairley as a Saint was way better than CJ Spiller? Not even close.
Of course, Nick Fairley had an incredible season.
Nick Fairley, now that you're willing to admit that, continue.
I was always willing to admit that. That was my gripe with it. I think they should have just, you know, they should have just taken it and run. They should have just said, "Yes, we got one good season of Nick Fairley. Let's take our money and run. Let's quit while we're ahead." But they didn't. They paid him, and then of course, obviously, they found out he had a heart condition, and he has to retire from football. Now, obviously, at the time, I didn't want the Saints to pay him because I knew he had a heart condition. I didn't want him to pay him because I thought he was going to get lazy and just loaf for the next 2 years or whatever. But either way, if they had just
right
listened
is right,
to me,
baby.
That's right. Either way, if they had just listened to me, then they would have saved all that money. So obviously, I'm going with Nick Fairley in this one.
I'm going to go CJ Spiller. Man, Nick Fairley was bad doctors with the Saints or whatever, but CJ Spiller, man, they could have got a nice another player with him. At least Nick Fairley had shown a track record of success. When the Saints signed CJ Spiller, they knew that he was an injury prone running back and his best years were behind him. And he had been injured all the time. Like, he was a huge risk, and they whiffed on that. I go CJ Spiller, in spite of the fact that Sunday night touchdown was magical. I'm still going CJ Spiller. Andrew, you're breaking the tie.
Well, first of all, there's no way I can let Nick Fairley end here. I mean, that would just be grossly unfair to Dave. And, you know, I feel like I'm Dave's friend, and I gotta stand by him, you know, and. I his poor little heart, you know, I just can't do that to him this early in the tournament.
Wait, my heart or Nick Fairley's heart?
Well, good point. You know, CJ Spiller was terrible, and the thing that bumps me about Spiller was that it was him and Reggie Bush, and they kind of wanted Spiller, and who knows how Reggie Bush probably would have been the same level of terrible, but it would have been fun to have him back. You know, but I just feel like the Spiller thing, like, yeah, it was a bummer, but the Saints were kind of okay at running back without him. Like, they still had Ingram, you know, and they still were able to kind of figure it out. Like, they did not need – Spiller didn't sink the offense. Nick Fairley, like, you could argue that the Nick Fairley situation was as bad as the Junior Gallette situation purely financially because of the dead money they had to eat. And you immediately sign a contract, and boom, like, you can't use that money. It's immediately dead money, and, like, I mean, it's basically lighting your cap on fire is what that deal was.
We have more of the lighting the cap on fire later in the bracket.
Yeah, so I'm going with Nick Fairley.
All right, so I skipped over the 8-25 matchup. The eight seed is Ducks in a Row email. The 25 seed is Garrett Grayson. For people that don't remember or don't realize, the Ducks in a Row email was really the thing that Goodell sort of hammered on Sean Payton over the head was, hey, because Tom Benson, when the NFL came investigating Bountygate, Tom Benson was like, yeah, take all the emails you want. Look through it all. So the NFL literally had all the Saints servers and all access to every fucking email they sent. And when they found out that the NFL was looking into it, Sean Payton apparently sent the email that said, get our Ducks in a Row. And Goodell used this against him, was like, this is you planning to lie to us and you know, hide everything, and this proves your guilt, which I always looked at it. I mean, obviously you don't see the email, but that – I hear people say that all the time at work, and I think it's nefarious because I think of the Saints, but it's really not. Like, if you say, hey, I'm getting the Ducks in the Row for the podcast tonight, guys, like, it could be not nefarious. Garrett Grayson.
Absolutely. You know, you're not even going to move on to Garrett Grayson because, Ralph, I think you nailed it. There is nothing incriminating about using the term ducks in a row. There's absolutely nothing incriminating. You could use that for in a positive manner just as easily as you could, in a, like you said, in a nefarious manner.
So,
but that was kind of the smoking gun, at least in terms of.
Well, it's a shitty smoking gun.
In Roger Goodell's eyes.
It's hard, yeah. Right? It's not a smoking gun, but to Roger
Burner
Goodell's
phone, eyes. Sean. Burner phone, man. Always. Here's the thing about Garrett Grayson, Andrew, and we might
tell
be
that to Will Wade.
Yeah, we'll. The thing, and we move ducks in a row. We'll move it along. But I think the one thing about Garrett Grayson that sort of hurts him in this bracket, if you want to say hurts him and get him eliminated in the first round, is because Garrett Grayson never played, and we never got to experience his true awfulness in a game that mattered. We don't view him as a colossal, huge mistake. He's just like, oh, yeah, they drafted him in the third round. He was a miss at quarterback. It's no big deal. But if, like, Breeze
they traded up. Did they trade up for him?
No, they didn't. They didn't trade up for him. But he was the pick that they – I think he was one of the – I think he might have been the pick they used when they traded Kenny Stills. Him or P.J. Williams. One of them was the third-round pick that they used when they traded Kenny Stills. But – you know what I'm saying? Like, if Garrett Grayson had played for 3 weeks in games that mattered and been atrocious, I think we'd remember him much worse than we do.
He was bad in preseason.
He was pretty bad.
Oh, he was bad. I mean, Luke McCown took him to school for that backup job.
So is it unanimous? Ducks in a row moves along?
No. I my vote is for Garrett Grayson. Now, it might not be enough to get him to move on to the next round, but I just, you know, just because Roger Goodell is a fucking moron and thought that him that Peyton saying ducks in a row is his smoking gun to prove an entire scheme of pay for play or, you know, bounty gate, whatever, you know, that's on Goodell. That's not on Peyton. So, you know, Garrett Grayson's drafting is totally on Peyton, so I say Grayson.
All right, so ducks in a row moves on. So the next one is...
Well, hold on, I didn't vote yet. Okay, are you voting for ducks in a row?
He apparently thinks we're all voting for ducks in a row.
I thought we are, but we're not, so it's split. So, Andrew, you decide this one. Go.
You know, the thing about Garrett Grayson is I just feel like... I mean, hindsight's 20/20, but like they wouldn't have had to pick up Bridgewater and dealt with this whole Taysom Hill thing if Garrett Grayson had been good. He was supposed to be the quarterback of the future. Now, are you really going to get your quarterback of the future in the third round? Yeah, I mean, I think these are both kind of flimsy because one is just a bad third round pick. And you guys, like ducks in a row, I thought was going to be my vote for sure. But you guys kind of convinced me that it's not that big of a deal, and it's kind of unfair, but...
Ooh, we're going to have an upset?
No, I'm going ducks in a row, because, like, Dave's right. It's, like, it's BS, but it was, like, the dagger in Sean Payton's heart. So, like, it was a poor choice of words, because that's what Goodell chose to go with. So, yeah. I'm going ducks in a row.
So, our four seed in this tournament is Brandon Browner versus 29 Kyrie Fort. And let me just say, they had about four people on Twitter, and they were fucking ridiculous, telling us Brandon Browner was not a bust for the Saints.
Oh, my God.
And they were going with cap numbers and whatever. Not Brandon Browner was a fucking disaster for the Saints at corner. I don't care if they paid him $1. He was horrible. His highlight was tackling other Saints. He had two highlights, tackling other Saints players on the field, and he wanted to murder Lyons McKelvin.
You mean Lyons Yellen?
Yeah, Lyons Yellen for Channel 4. Like, those were his two highlights.
Whatever happened to him? Where did he go?
I don't know. He just disappeared. But Kyrie Fort, Andrew.
We need to Google that.
Kyrie Fort.
He was the narcoleptic.
He fell asleep in meetings. So
he had Epstein Barr.
This is tough, man. I mean, if Browner was terrible, Dave. But when you draft a linebacker in the fourth round, he falls asleep in meetings.
That's the question. What's worse, contributing but being terrible at it, or not even being good enough to contribute? That's the main question here that we're dealing with.
Kyrie Fort did go on. He did go to be on the show Scandalous, which is a Discovery investigation murder reenactment show. He did go on to play a murderer in that show. So his post football career might be on the upswing. Brandon Browner is in jail.
So he was a fakey Brandon Browner.
He was a fake Brandon Browner, but Brandon Browner is actually in jail. So if that's your post career, it's tough.
I think didn't Browner set the record for most penalties in a season?
Yes.
Yeah.
I think that's the biggest disaster I've ever heard of.
I'm glad we made the Cardi Ford sleeping joke, but can we just make this a clean sweep for Browner, please?
Yeah. Browner.
Yeah.
Okay. So the next one, this one is going to be hard. 13 seed allowing Mike Cirillo in the building. First, the 20 seed. Chain
By the
Bailey.
Way, there's another Italian in our bracket.
Yeah. So I can play this. I mean,
Dave's offended.
I think Cirillo might. He's got to move along. I mean, that you talk about bad decisions. That dude was a liar from the jump, and he was the snitch for Bountygate. Like, I mean, I know Champ Bailey was bad, and he stole $500,000 of Tom Benson's money because he was so terrible and washed.
Wasn't
up
it five end. Million?
What's that?
Wasn't it $5 million?
No, but he got $500,000 signing. Oh, okay. Right? Like the rest wasn't guaranteed, but he was terrible and washed. But I mean, Cirillo. He was the beginning of what turned in. He was the spark that burned 2012 to the ground. So
yeah, so two things. I got a little story for about Champ Bailey. So when I was at the Greenbrier, there's a little kid store in there, and he's in there, and he was also in a boot, and he was with his kid, and his kid was an animal. I mean, just like an animal in the toy store, just running from toy to toy, throwing them on the ground. He was getting so pissed, and he'd be like, "Man, come on!" You know, like trying to get him to get in line. And then my son's there. He was like four. You know, he's three or four. And my son is the same age, and at the time, and you know, my son's behaving, and Champ Bailey just looks at me. Same thing. You know, I go up to him, get him to sign my ball. Hey, thanks, man. He looks at me. He's like, "Man, how do you get your son to behave? How do you get your son to behave in this place?" And I was like, "I don't know." Like, his kid is in the background going nuts. And so then I mentioned his foot. I'm like, "Hey, man, sorry about the boot." And he's like, "Ah, yeah." He's like, "You know," he said, I was really worried. It was really bad like a week ago. But I'm healing really fast, and it's actually much better than I thought it was going to be. So it's really good. So he told me that snippet, and I was like, "That's cool." And I just made the comment, like, you know, it's just training camp. As long as you're good to go for week one, that's all that matters. And he kind of looks at me, and he's like, "Yeah, exactly." And well, he
nope.
He got healthy in time for week one, and that wasn't good enough because they cut him.
Nope.
Yeah, but Cirillo. I feel like Ralph for the next. So we need to let him get through because you need to come prepared. I think with the Joe Vitt testimony on Cirillo, where he just completely eviscerates him. Because I think for comedy, just like reading that testimony would just be.
I wonder if I can find audio of that.
Great comedy.
If somebody listening to the show in the live stream or listening to the show later, if you have the audio of Joe Vitt outside the courthouse, if you could point me to that, and I'm going to search for it, but if you could point me to a link to that, DM me that on Twitter, and I will make that for us next week because I'll have the time.
Jim Gleason in the chat, by the way, he called Garrett Grayson the modern-day Mike Buck. I like that.
I don't know, man. Mike Buck had that one sweet, sweet trick play on a Sunday night.
Mike Buck threw an NFL pass. Yeah. Garrett Griffin can't say as much.
So are we agreed Cirillo goes through?
Yes.
I'm voting Cirillo.
Okay. Yep. This is Dave, this is another – this one is this is a strong matchup. This bracket is just loaded. The number 5 seed, the Junior Gallet extension, Dave, versus the 28 seed, Stanley Arno / Chip Vaughn, Wake Forest poo-poo platter combo. Who you got, Dave?
Does it come with the fire on the top that you can grill?
Oh, there was no fire with these. No.
These guys. Now refresh my. Were they drafted in the same?
Same round. Same draft.
No, but the same round.
Back to back. Yep.
Back to back picks.
Picks. Yeah.
That's
not back to back in like back to back Saints picks.
Oh yeah, yeah. Yeah, they were pretty terrible. They really didn't work out. I remember that. What was that, like 2007, 2008? What year was that?
Oh, yeah.
You know, the Junior Gallet extension, obviously the money is one thing. They had to pay Gallet a whole bunch of money to cut his ass. Cut the check, Mickey. He was just, yeah, right. That's right. Remember that? And let's not forget my role in this, making sure that we identified Junior Gallet.
Yes, I was going to say, you got investigative reporting, man.
Yes.
This made you a made guy.
That's right. Let's not forget that I was the one who visually confirmed that Junior Gallet and his cronies were the guys in the Belt Beach video. that was like one of Canal Street Chronicles' like highest traffic days ever for sure. But I mean that the whole, you know, Gallet was just toxic. The locker room, it was a disaster. You got to definitely go with Gallet. Just on the money alone, was a disaster.
Yeah, that was a 2009 draft, Andrew.
Wow.
They picked Chip Vaughn 116 and then Stanley Arno 118. Same round.
Oh. Back, yeah, so it was two picks
in the fourth round.
Yeah, I knew it. That's what I was saying. Yep, I knew it was in the same round. They were like,
I just don't like the thing that pisses me off so much about that.
From that powerhouse Wake Forest, of course.
Yeah. You know. Yeah, yeah. Like, first of all, like, what would possess Sean Payton to think, like, my defense is bad. I got to find a way to turn it around. I'm going to look to Wake Forest to be my saving grace. It's my ace in the hole. I'm going to Wake Forest.
That's like world coming to. It's like drafting two guys from Tulane.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I'm gonna.
Yeah, but at least for Tulane, we'd be like, at least Tulane would have been like, that's cool, they're local.
And the worst part.
Yeah, exactly.
Like Chip Vaughn and Arno were both useless NFL players, and to make matters worse, Arno was like on IR when the Saints won the Super Bowl, so he got a Super Bowl ring, and then he lost it.
That's right. I remember that.
You know what?
He left it in his cup holder in his car or something.
I know Gallet's going to advance, and Gallet needs to advance. I know you're both going to pick them. So I'm picking the Wake Forest combo because the more I talk about it, the more angry I get. And God damn it, I'm not letting it be a clean sweep.
I mean, yeah. The temptation of the jokes that we can make as they move forward, it tempts me. But the Junior Gallet, like I was arguing with people on Twitter today, they're like, the Junior Gallet extension really shouldn't be there because if the Saints wouldn't have cut him, he would have been fine. I'm like, yeah, but if I can make that argument, anybody in this bracket, like if CJ Spiller had been healthy, if Nick Fairley, if his heart didn't give out, like then they wouldn't be in this bracket. But it happened, so like he's there, and like he was like a neutron bomb on their cap. Like,
well, let's not forget Gallet's body went full Cam Cleland after the Saints cut him.
Yeah, it did. Actually, before, right? Didn't he blow out the Achilles technically before they cut him? Maybe not.
No, he blew it both of them in DC. I think he had a knee thing in New Orleans.
So Gallet goes through. Let's go to the 12 seed. This is a strong. This one's strong. The 12 seed, Dave, they cut Mike Carney on his wedding day. That's what Sean Payton did. Number 21 seed, TMZ video of Sean Payton grinding in the Bahamas. I will say this, and John Oliver, big supporter of the show, patron, he made a good point, I think. And is Sean Payton grinding in the Bahamas? Is that really a bad decision? And I kind of lean that way, so I don't know, but Andrew cutting Mike Carney on his wedding day. I mean, that's just...
Yeah. Well, I mean, first of all, the TMZ. Hopefully, Sean Payton's kids don't listen to this podcast, because I mean, that was like in the middle of his divorce, and or after, right afterwards, and I'm sure that was painful for his kids to see their dad on TMZ grinding, and he's wearing an awful Hawaiian shirt, and it was a bad look. So, I think it was a bad move, just because, you know, I'm sure that was bad optics with his family. But yeah, I mean, first of all, Mike Carney was a great saint. You know, one of Deuce McAllister's best friends, big friend of the show. He's come on,
yes, he has,
multiple times. I mean, a great dude. I text with him. And in fact, I'm going to have to let him know that he's in this tournament, because he'll get a kick out of it. And, you know, he's told me since, like, it's water under the bridge. And, you know, I think he recently met with Sean Payton, I guess this was 2 years ago. And, you know, I think they were trying to kind of bury the hatchet. But, you know, I think Mike would never say this because he's super positive. But, I mean, I still think it hurts him, you know, just to think about, like,
but there's the thing. Didn't Sean Payton know? That it would, like, couldn't they have, like, waited at least a day?
Well, I'm sure.
Was it worse when you're on your honeymoon?
I thought about this, and, like, you know, if they make the decision, like, we're parting ways with Carney, which is always a difficult thing, because he was a good player and he cared a lot, and he was, you know, he was a guy that meant a lot just to guys in the locker room and everything. But I think when you make the decision you're going to cut a player, like, it's never good, right? And so you can't cut him before his wedding. Like, that's even worse, right? If you cut him the day before his wedding, because then he's bringing that baggage into the wedding. And then if you cut him on his wedding day, maybe he doesn't find out. And then the day after he gets married, you cut him on the first day of his honeymoon. Like, I don't know. Or that whole week he's on his honeymoon. And, you know, so I don't know. I mean, I think if you were to ask Sean Payton, he would say, like, there was no good time to do it, and at least on his wedding day, like, he might not notice until, you know, after, I don't know. But yeah, I mean, that's so messed up. And I love Carney too, so to me, that's like, that makes it worse. But you know, the TMZ grinding thing in the Bahamas, like, once again, like, only Sean Payton. Like, this doesn't happen to other coaches.
No, it doesn't. It's amazing. I should have had a song.
If only there was a video of Andy Reid grinding in the Bahamas.
Oh my God.
Oh yeah. I mean, I just want to stop for a second and take stock that, like, we're halfway through the first round and we've already brought up an investment in a pyramid scheme. We've already brought up the abuse of Vicodin. We've already brought up an email basically telling everyone to delete their emails because, you know, investigators are about to read them. And we've
also
got
signing a player who committed the most penalties in an NFL season.
And then grinding on vacation and having TMZ videotape it and cutting a dude on his wedding. I mean, holy cow.
I got to go cut Carney on his wedding day for this. That's got to go through for me.
Yeah, I'm going with Carney for sure.
Do you guys think this cutting Carney on his wedding day, like, has a shot at...
By the way, this was my one contribution. That was the one that I texted out, and yeah. I was like, wait, you guys forgot about this one. That was the one that I contributed. So I feel a certain kinship to this particular... I may either subconsciously or consciously you know, push it further along than maybe it deserves to be. I don't know, we'll see how it plays
out.
These round two matchups, by the way, like, I'm just
kind of a dick move. It's kind of a dick move to cut a player.
Oh yeah, it's terrible.
All right, we're not doing the whole first round, right? Because we're now 48 minutes into this here.
We're gonna do two more, I think, and then we'll get out of here. Or are we halfway done with the bracket?
We are halfway done with the first round.
We'll do we'll do. Should we do one more, or should we? No, we'll do the second half. We'll do the second half next week. Because I want to get to at least a little bit of draft stuff.
Yeah.
And
I just want to tease
what you have to look forward to next week. We've got Jairus Byrd. We've got Olin Krutz. We've got Delvin Bro's leg situation. We've got Steve Spagnuolo. We've got the friendship with Mike Ornstein. Everybody's favorite left tackle, Charles Brown. We've got the Xbox Kid movie script.
Xbox Kid movie's weird because people don't know about – I have a lot of people like,
yeah.
What the fuck
I didn't know
is
about
that?
It. You didn't know. I just learned about it before this tournament. And then we got everyone's favorite corners, Jason David and Stanley Jean-Baptiste. So lots of stuff to
– God, Jason David, he's got to be up there, man. God, he's got to be like a semifinalist at least.
He's a sixth seed, man. He's not even that high.
I know. Well, he's got to be a semifinalist.
I mean, this bracket is
looking those were some years, man.
So Andrew, how many questions do we have in the chat room before I play the draft capsule for the week?
Well, this is more of a comment, but Chad Prue said, I thought Grayson was going to be all pro. I'm not wrong often, but I was on that account. He threw a beautiful ball at Colorado State. Who knew he couldn't call a play?
Yeah. All right. I got to – before we
get
to questions –
did we get questions on Twitter?
Yeah, we got a couple questions. But before I get to questions and before I get to the draft preview, I'd like to take a second to introduce our newest friends from SeatGeek. Let them take the confusion out of your ticket buying experience. Instead of shopping dozens of sites to find the best deal, let SeatGeek do the work for you. Their app scans the web for the best deals, your favorite game, concert, or show, and rates them on a scale of 0 to 10 to let you know if you are getting the best bang for your buck. A green dot mark, it's a great deal. Yellow dot, good. Red dot, not so good deal. Use the promo code ACAA at checkout to receive $20 off your first purchase. That's two free beers at the stadium on them. What are you waiting for? The promo code ACAA for $20 off your first purchase. SeatGeek, life's an event. We have the tickets.
Have we, like, made the big time? We got a real sponsor like SeatGeek?
We do. We're practicing.
Holy shit.
Between that and your mom giving me your inheritance, it's been a fantastic Monday.
So let me... Let me get this straight. So my mother is now committed to paying $7 every month to us?
No, well, she's $5, and I think I might – she's $5, so she's in the patron. I might rig –
She's going to get a – does she get a koozie and a shirt?
She gets
Do
a
I
koozie.
Have to
mail if
my
put,
mother a koozie and
if
a
she's,
shirt?
If she put in her address.
Maybe just hand deliver it.
If I go home, the next time I go home with my family to New York, and she just whips out a Diet Coke and slides it into a Saints Happy Hour podcast koozie.
So she gets a koozie, but I was just thinking, at the $5 level, she is entered into the patron spotlight sweepstakes where she could win the drawing, and I could interview her and bring and ask her all sorts of embarrassing questions about Dave. That might be against like proper regulations,
I could rig it to where she would win. I think our listeners want this to happen.
I think they do.
We want a show with Ralph and Dave's mom. Make it happen. Rig it. Do it.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's just another reason why. But seriously, Dave's mom will be in the patron spotlight. But after we rig that drawing for next
Wait,
month.
Wait, can you do a drunk history with her?
drunk history from Dave's childhood. become a patron.
My mother doesn't remember anything about my childhood, apparently.
Become a patron, and like Dave's mother, you could be in the patron spotlight. You can get 4 podcasts a week. You get a free beer koozie if you are on Patreon by May 1st.
Dave's mom.
My wife.
We have the draft spotlights that we did. We did Irv Smith last week. This week, we have David Sills of West Virginia. If you caught it, go to our Facebook page. Armchair Media was nice enough to do a video version of this. But because of all you guys' donations and support for the podcast, we were able to send Andrew around the country to talk to scouts and to talk to people. And he got people to give him information that other draft analysts just don't have. So here's the preview. David Sills of West Virginia. This week in the Saints Happy Hour Draft Day Spotlight is David Sills of West Virginia. The 6'4", 217-pound wide receiver potentially fills Saints fans' glaring need to buy the jersey of a gangly white dude. Sills could sell more Saints jerseys to middle-aged white guys than Jeremy Shockey circa 2009. Sills failed as a quarterback throwing passes, but hopes to thrive catching them in the NFL. His football IQ and temperament has been questioned by teams, but one NFC scout told Saints Happy Hour podcast that's not a concern.
All right, hey, listen. This has to be offered, okay? I don't want you naming me as a source, but listen. Sills partying and drinking in West Virginia is totally not a big deal. I love this kid. Have you ever been to Morgantown? That place is the worst. What the fuck else are you going to do? What are you going to do there besides party and pound natty life? The way I see it, burning a couch after a Mountaineer win shows he's a great leader, a great teammate. I mean, I want the kind of guys that burn couches after big wins in that god-awful town, okay? If you can burn a couch, you can burn a secondary, give me that guy.
Sills' potential for pyrotechnics on and off the field give him a Saints Happy Hour Draft Day on Fire score of 9.1. This has been the Saints Happy Hour Draft Day Spotlight. You see,
why is that song familiar?
It's the Airwolf theme song.
That's right.
I feel like you got to end that with the air horn.
Oh, yeah. All draft spotlights need to be ending with and starting with the air horn, too.
Yeah.
Oh, you don't like the... You think I should start with the air horn and not the ESPN draft chime?
No, I like the ESPN draft chime.
It's I do. Solid. I don't understand why we're not doing the air horns every 5 minutes.
I like how Andrew
every
said.
Every time we pick a winner in the bracket, there should be air horns.
I got the Twitter questions, Andrew. We'll go through those, and then you can do the questions in the chat room, and then we'll get out of here. So okay. Dylan asks, who will have a better statistical year, Mark Ingram or Latavius Murray? Dave, since Mark Ingram's your boyfriend, who you got? Mark Ingram or Latavius Murray to have a better year?
I mean, Latavius Murray is going to be, at best, he's going to be, you know, 1A and 1B with Kamara at best. And I think Andrew said it last week. I don't really see that. I think it's definitely now Kamara is one and Murray is two. In Baltimore, I mean, Ingram is the guy. That's why they brought him in there. He's going to be.
He might get 400 carries this year.
Yeah, he's going to be numero uno. And they're a run heavy offense. So you got to go with Mark Ingram for sure.
This is
especially with Lamar Jackson. They're only going to run the ball more, man.
Yeah, this is a good question from Dylan too, Andrew. Cam Jordan
is this,
turning.
Is this Dylan? Is this the weather guy?
This is the weather guy.
Frederico.
I don't understand why we've never discussed how these questions are coming from an on-air weather talent. I feel like is there like some sort of like YouTube bloopers of his bloopers like on air that we could like find?
Isn't he a storm chaser too? There's probably some like crazy tornado videos.
We need to be exploiting this, people. Jesus Christ. Do I have to do everything?
He says,
I already gave you the Mike Carney getting cut on the wedding day. What else do I have to give you, people?
And your inheritance.
That's right. And I brought to you my mother.
So Andrew, he says Cam Jordan is turning 30 and may start to regress soon. What is his trade value, and should we trade him for draft picks next Thursday?
Oh God, no. Absolutely not. We finally got this defense playing some decent ball. We can't go backwards. But, you know, I'm hopeful that he will age gracefully. And I say that because, man, you look at these pass rushers and Julius Peppers and John Abraham, Dwight Freeney, Terrell Suggs. I mean, you look at all these guys, man, they're still 38. A lot of them are older than 38, and they're still
Wake is freaking 40.
Yeah, and they're still getting like 8 sacks a year, 10 sacks a year. And so, I mean, I see no reason why Cam Jordan can't keep this going. I mean, he's been healthy. I mean, he's been dinged here and there, but he's been kind of the marathon man. He hasn't really had missed games, you know. He's been able to play through stuff. So, I mean, obviously, you know how football is. It can all change very quickly, but – I'm hopeful that Jordan will be one of those guys. He'll be 34 and we'll be wondering like, man, he really hasn't declined and he wants to get paid again. Do we do it? Cause he's 34, but he hasn't shown signs of declining. So I expect him to be good for 3 or 4 more years, if not more.
So what's the questions in the chat room that we got?
None. Yeah, we've got Jason DeJong. He just said that he's got a fever and the only cure is a bit more air horn. I'm glad to make you feel better. Jim Gleason, our buddy, asked, what percentage chance do we have to pick up Ansah? If you had to give it a percentage chance.
I'm going to say 65%. Like, I just feel like he's not going to get any offers from anybody else because his shoulder is fucking wrecked. And he's
So why do you want us to be the team that's stupid enough to do it? Because he's not going to offer. I don't get it.
Like, he's not – but he's not – Dave, it's not going to be anything. It's going to be like Okafor 2 years ago. It's going to be like 1 year.
Yeah.
It's going to be like 1 year, 200 – it's going to be like 1 year, 2 million with like $250,000 bonus and like – they'll say it's $5 million, but that'll just be for like every week he's active, he gets $80,000 or something. Like, you know, it'll be nothing. Like, it's just gonna be a lot. It's just gonna be a lottery ticket.
Your starters are Jordan and Davenport, so you don't need him to come in and start. You just need him to come in and play on third down and get a sack here and there.
Yeah,
he can do that.
I don't know. There's a lot of other teams that, you know, could just use a little bit of extra depth. And they could easily just assign him and on a 1 year whatever deal. And
but wouldn't they have done that already? Like,
okay, and they haven't. I don't know. I don't know.
I mean, the thing is,
hey, the Saints don't have as many draft picks as other teams. That's why I feel like they got to go get Ansah because they're not going to get a pass rusher like that in the draft.
That's definitely true. So what about Russell Wilson? You're gonna get Russell Wilson.
that's a great discussion for next week. If Russell Wilson, if his contract, I didn't want to talk about it tonight, and I didn't want to do a podcast for me and Andrew to record it today because basically his deadline is like midnight tonight. If he doesn't sign with Seattle, he's not doing an extension. They're not negotiating any further. But that's a really interesting discussion.
Franchise him.
They could, but I mean. It becomes difficult then because the franchise tag for a quarterback is insane, right?
Yeah.
So it becomes real interesting because the thing is, I think Russell Wilson's amazing. He's a top 5-6 quarterback, and a lot of fans don't view him that way. So if Seattle's decided to trade him, it would be really interesting to see. I think teams would stampede to try to get him, but I think fans are kind of lukewarm on him because I don't think Seattle maximizes him. But he's an interesting one. But
Ralph and I are going to have a 7-minute of Saints where we talk about what we would give up for Russell Wilson.
Well, I got a question right now. Would you give up the rest of the 2019 draft to get Russell Wilson?
Yes.
Oh, Jesus Christ. I would give up the rest of the draft, and I would drive Teddy Bridgewater to his preferred trade destination to get Russell Wilson. Jesus Christ! So
we do have another question. It's kind of a 2-part question from Ninja Coordinator in the chat. He asks, "How boring but awesome are the top offensive line draft picks that are likely going to be for our 2nd round pick?" And then he also asks, "Is the drafting of a receiver a sign of no confidence in our existing receiving core?" The second question first, I'll answer that one, and I'll let you guys answer the offensive line one. For me, I don't think it's that they have no confidence in our existing receiving core. I mean, there's a bunch of guys that could work out. You got Kirkwood, you've got Ginn, you've got Meredith, you've got Traquan Smith, and I think any of those guys could work out and have a good season. But I just feel like at receiver, we really don't know which ones of those guys will be productive. And because of that, I think the more guys you have in training camp, the more you have a chance of several guys panning out. So I think it's like the whole thing is throwing stuff at the wall and seeing what sticks. I would not view it as like an indictment of the receiving core. I think they're not sure. So
this is a tease for Ninja Coordinator. This is a tease for you, because I know you are a patron, but for people to become a patron also, is we have draft spotlight for one of the top offensive linemen that may or may not be there at 62 for the Saints, Ford from Oklahoma. Andrew got some amazing insider information when we sent him to Norman, Oklahoma for a weekend. And you'll hear that spotlight later in this week if you're a patron first. So become a patron and you'll get that insider information. And if you don't believe that Andrew gets inside information, he broke the Victor Butler story at the Greenbrier. So, I mean, it's a fact that we have draft information that no one else has. So thanks to everybody for listening on the live stream. It was successful again. I think that's, 4 out of 5 weeks. It hasn't been a complete disaster. So that's a positive, right, guys? And also too, did you like my third grade collage that I did for the live stream graphic that people see with the Greenbrier and Brandon Brown and
like,
Harris Bird?
It looks like a GeoCities website.
It really does. It really does.
The thing is I'm colorblind, so I looked on the internet to what is the HTML code for Saints Gold. And since I'm colorblind, I just got the code and punched it in, and I don't know if it actually looks
it's pretty – I mean, the gold is fine.
Yeah, the rest of it is not.
Well, it's just pretty terrible.
What do you people want, man? Dave, I got the live stream working. I got the soundboard working. Audio doesn't sound like I'm talking out of a hole. I can't do all of that and graphics. That's just too much to ask.
Just give him one more air horn and he'll be good.
All right. So for Dave, for Andrew, and for Kevin, who's MIA, until next week, the bar is closed.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.